Today's shiur is Masechta Pesachim, Daf Tzadik Daled, Amud Aleph, 11 lines down from the top of the Amud with the words Amar Rava. Before we begin this fascinating Daf, which has much to do with Torah and science, a brief Hagdama is in order. What is Das Torah when science conflicts with Torah? If we look at the Rabbeinu Chananel on our Amud, 6 lines after it gets wide, he says as follows: The afal pi shachozim kachavim shabizman hazeh medabrim dvorim hamakhishim, even though the astrologers of our time say things which are against the way Chazal said, loy mashgichin luhu, we do not listen to them. Ela anu mizharim divrei rabbeinu ketakanim v'loy lachish l'divrei zulas. We follow what Chazal say, and we're not worried about any other conflicting opinion, even though it comes from science. Torah is the correct approach, even if science conflicts. This is the shita of Rabbeinu Chananel. And in this regard, we have a very interesting Gemara, Masechta Shabbos, Daf Yud Beis, where Rav Huna said that it is permitted on Shabbos to kill a kina, a louse, and the reason is because the Gemara tells us in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Kuv Zayin Amud Beis, that a kina is not por of a rava. It does not come from an egg, as regular creations are created through puruvu. It comes from the ground, and therefore it is not comparable to the ayolim, the mildamim that were killed that were slaughtered in the Mishkan, and there is no isser of netilas neshama. And the scientists disagreed with this because they maintained that a kina also develops through the regular puruvu, and this is brought down in the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak from Rabbi Yitzchak Lamporti, and he brings from the Mari Manitoba, who says the following. He agrees with the Rabbeinu Chananel here on our daf, and he says, quote, She'ein l'shanes hadinim hamiyusadim al kabbalas hakadmonim Al-Kabbalas Kadmonenu Bishvil Chakiris Chachmim Misoilim. We're not going to change halachas because of the thesis of the Umasolim, of the Goyish, the Gentile scientists. However, it's interesting to note that the Mechaber of the Pachad Yitzchak, who's quoting the Rimanitoba, Rabbi Yitzchak Lamparti himself, says it does not agree with that. And he says, based on the scientific analysis, that a kina develops through regular puruvu methods, hahore kina b'shabbos chayiv. He goes against the Shulchan Aruch, against the Gemara Masechta Shabbos, and he says, based on science, we have to accept what the scientists say, and according to them, a kina is the same creation comparable to the Elam Meudamim, and therefore, just like there is Netilas Neshama, and it's one of the Lamatas Malachas on Shabbos, so too, if someone killed a louse on Shabbos, he would be chayv, not like the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos Daf Yud Beis. So it's interesting that we see from Rabbi Yitzchak Lamporti, his opinion was that if science has a conflict with science, we would in fact change the halacha based on the scientific opinion. We find in the Michtav Melayo in Chelik Dalid on Amud 356 that Rav Arya Carmel, the Talmud Muvig of Rav Elyo Dessler, the Baal Michtav Melayo, he writes there in Ois Dalid that Avad Chazal knew that a louse develops through Puruvu, as has been proven today by scientists. But since this was something that the eye is not able to see, lo nitna Torah l'malachei ha'shores, the Torah is given for regular eyesight, and this cannot be seen with regular eyesight, and therefore the Gemara was saying that in halacha it's considered as if it comes from the ground and is not developed through regular puruvu methods, and therefore concerning Hilchos Shabbos, in fact, if someone killed a kina, it would be potter, and the scientific fact that it comes through puruvu would not change that halacha. We find in Masechta Klayim, Perek Hei, Mishnah Hei, that the Rush there when he had a conflict with the mathematicians, versus what the Mishnayos and Klaim said, he felt that, forget about, just like Rabbeinu Chananel here in our Masechta, we forget about the mathematicians, and we go plainly with Chazal. However, the Tosfos Yontif there disagrees. And the Tosfos Yontif says the following, quote, "Vafilu divrei chachmei amidus loy havelei lahakrish." He should not have denied what the mathematicians say. Ki chol divreim benuyim amoysim chazakim asher yefshel l'sois from b'shum panim. They are built on empirical proofs. She'ein moif seim kemoif seya philosophim ativyim. This is not like the philosophers who have certain hypotheses which may in fact not be valid. But these are built on clear empirical proofs. And the Tosfos Yontif brings a proof that we cannot dismiss the words of the mathematicians from a Tosfos Masechta Eruvim Daf Yudalet Amud Aleph, where the Gemara says there, the Mishnah says that Kol Sheyesh BeKeifa Gimel Tvachim, whatever has a circumference of three Tvachim, Yesh Bo Roichav Tefach, has a width, a diameter of a Tefach, and Tosfos asks, and he remains with a question, Vekasha, De'ein HaChesbim Meduktik L'fi Chachmei Amidos, that this cheshbon does not come out according to the mathematicians, because we know the concept of pi, and the real measurement would be 3.14, and Chazal are saying it's only 3, and therefore Tosfos remains with a question. Says the Tosfos Yontif, according to the approach of the Rush and or the Rabbeinu Chananel and our sugya, my kash mechachmi amidus lechachmi ashas. What's the question? V'hoyolam litchos divrei chachmi amidus mipnei divrei chachmi ashas k'moish asar rash. The Tosfos should merely have dismissed what the mathematicians say based on what Chazal say. Just as the Rush said here in Masechta Klaim, Sha'amar lesa lahaiklala, we don't reckon with the rule of that the mathematicians say against the Mishnah. Tosfos did not give that as a response. Avalheim ro shadivri chachamim it is amitiyim sheyev shalut chaysim b'shumpanim. They saw that the words of the mathematicians were 100% valid, and we cannot dismiss them. Vihine zeu kamoi b'sharmakom shehikshu atosfos v'tomu b'dvorim and advorim v'nichu b'kosher b'teima. Just like Tosfos asks a steer from one gemara to another and remains with a question. Tzorich iyun. We're not going to budge from the words of the Shas because we have a question from another source. We're going to say that we don't know the answer. So the Tosfos Yontif said the Rush should have used the same approach as Tosfos Nerv and Daf Yedalid to ask a question from math, but not to dismiss what the mathematicians say. So we see from this Tosfos Yontif in Masechta Klayim that he quotes Tosfos Nerv and Daf Yedalid, a different approach than the Rush and Rabbeinu Chananel when science has a conflict with Torah. Both are correct. If it's a valid, 100% proven scientific fact, then it is one MS opposing another MS, and Tzorich Iyun. We have a third approach, and this is brought down in a book which was recently published by Rabbi Konigsberg. It's entitled Two Giants Speak. And they bring a translation of two letters which Rav Samson Fol Hirschitzel in 1876 wrote to his Talmud, Rabbi Pinchas Wexler. And Rav Samson Fol Hirsch's approach to science and Chazal is the following, and I quote on page 24 of that pamphlet, "In my opinion," says Rav Samson Fol Hirsch, "the first principle that every student of Chazal's statements must keep before his eyes is the following. Chazal were the sages of Hashem's law, the receivers, transmitters, and teachers of his Torahs, his mitzvahs, and his interpersonal laws. They did not especially master the natural sciences, geometry, astronomy, or medicine, except insofar as they needed them for knowing, observing, and fulfilling the Torah. We do not find that this knowledge was transmitted to them from Sinai." So the first yesod that Rav Samson Fol Hirsch says is that scientific knowledge is not necessarily a Masorah from Sinai. He further, Rav Sansval Hirsch says, that Chazal, in fact, can make a mistake in scientific facts. And I quote, "Moreover, even in the area where one is an expert, it is neither possible for him nor expected of him to know everything through personal investigation and experience. Most of his knowledge rests upon the investigation of others. If they have erred, it is not his fault. It is sufficient and praiseworthy if his knowledge encompasses all that is accepted as true at his time and place and generation. The greatness of his wisdom is in no way diminished if in a later generation it is discovered that some of the things he maintained or accepted on the authority of others are unreliable. The same is true for Chazal in these areas. The greatest of them knew all the wisdom and science of all the great non-Jewish scholars whose wisdom and teachings became famous in their generations." And then he continues on page 25, "And if, as we see things today, these instances are considered fiction, can Chazal be blamed for ideas that were accepted by the naturalists of their time?" So the approach of Rav Sansval Hirsch, and likewise we find this in a mimer of Rabbeinu Avram ben Harambam, which he wrote concerning Drushas Chazal, he goes with the same approach, namely that it's possible that Chazal would make a mistake when their idea is conflicted by science. So here comes out an opinion that science versus Torah, in fact, if it's a scientific proven fact, we would not say that Chazal are correct and not say Tzorachin like the Tosfos Yontif maintains, but in fact, we would say that it's very possible Chazal made a mistake and we would go with science. However, this approach, Rav Elyashiv Shlita, the Posek Hador, has written that this opinion, although it's brought by reputable sources, is a minority view, and therefore the Das Torah of what a Yid, Jew should think would be either that Chazal we listen to, as the Rashi and Rabbeinu Chananel hold, we listen to Chazal no matter what science says, or the approach of the Tosfos Yontif that they are both emes and it is a tzorich iyun. With this hakdama, we begin our sugya today. Amar Rava, Rava said, "Shita alpe parsi haviyama." The world is 6,000 parsois in length. Rashi explains that this means the amount that the sun has to travel as it goes over the horizon from east to west. It is traveling over 6,000 parsois. The sumcha derakia and the thickness of the sky is alpha parsi, is 1,000 parsois. A parsa is 4 milin, a mil is 2,000 amas. Says Rava further, chad de gemara, one of these facts, as Rashi explains, the fact that the width that the sun has to travel over the earth is 6,000 parsois, this was something that Rava had been mekabel from his Rebbe. The chad asvara, and the fact that the thickness of the firmament is 1,000 amas, this was a svara. This is something that Rava deduced himself. Now, when the Gemara speaks about the sumcha derakia, the thickness of the firmament, this is actually based on a machlokas that we will have on Amud Beis between the Chachmei Umas HaOlam and Chazal. And the Gemara is going to tell us that the Chazal were of the opinion that there is a thickness to the firmament, meaning that the sun will travel from east to west, and when the sun sets, what it's actually doing is going through the thickness of the firmament, and then it's going back above the firmament, which is above the earth. It's going back from west to east, and then in the morning, when it rises in the east, it's coming back through the firmament, then rising from the east and traveling back to the west, and so on. The Chachmei Umas HaOlam were of the opinion that last Bayoim Chama Malachas Lamatim in a Rakia. In the morning, the sun goes under the Rakia. Balaylo Lamatim in a Rakia. And at night, Minakarka. And at night, it goes under the ground. In other words, that the sun makes a circle and revolves around the earth. Whereas Chazal's opinion was that it doesn't revolve around the earth. Rather, it goes through the windows, as we say in davening, boikeya chalone rakia. There are like windows in the firmament, and at night when it sets, it goes through the firmament in the western part of the horizon, and then above that firmament goes back to the east, and when it rises in the morning, it comes back through one of those windows in the firmament to rise in the east. Although the Gemara there in Amud Beis says that Rebbe held that Nirin Divrein Midivreinu, that their hypothesis makes more sense than ours. The Umis Oilam seem more correct than Chazal, although Rebbe said it. However, our Gemara here is going according to the opinion of Chazal, that in fact the sun goes through the windows in the Rakia, and therefore the Rakia itself, Chazal say, have a sumcha de Rakia. They have a thickness to the cloud, to the firmament. And how wide is that thickness? Rava was saying, based on a svar, which he's going to tell us in a moment, that thickness was 1,000 parsois. The Maral tells us, Negeya, this entire sugya, that all of the words of the Gemara here are going on the ruchniistic part, the metaphysical sibah, cause of the gashmius. To quote, Aval eina emes kach klal ki loy bo chachom ledaber min asibah tivis. They're not talking about the physical cause. Aval heim zal dibru min asibah shemachayiv hateva. From that cause which brings about nature. Val oisei hasibah tivis yesh sibah alukis. That the cause of nature is caused by a spiritual cause. The Yeshib Sasibo, Mized Dibur Chachamim. Our Chazal, according to Maral, are not speaking about the scientific facts. So the Maral, it would seem, holds like the Toisus Yanta, which we mentioned before, that when there's a steer between science and Torah, then we have to answer that steerer. We can't dismiss the scientists. But and the Maral is answering that Chazal are not even speaking about the actual natural facts of science. They're speaking about the spiritual causes of nature. And that's what Rava was speaking about when he said the sun is going over 6,000 parsois. The Ben Yoyada says, the Eich Sheyeh, quote, Yadoya Teira, you should know, Be'emes u'be'emuna, ki divrei chachm Yisrael b'chol mokim heima chayim v'kayomim. Sheim emes v'divreim emes. Their words are true. U'mulvar ha'soyre shekivno yisoy b'toch divreim, hinei l'pomim timtze shegam derech ha'pshati yeshlam kavan amuka. Not only do they have a sod, a secret in what they're saying, but even their simple meaning has depth to it. U'machma sh'onu chaserim kamagdomis. We're missing certain bases and premises which we're not aware of, we don't understand them. Gam b'derech hapshat, l'chein ein anachnu mevinim kavonas al emes afilu kifi hapshat shel advorim. So we don't even understand the truth of the simple meaning of what they're trying to say because we are lacking the knowledge. So again, the Ben Yoyada seems to go with the same approach. It's not that we dismiss what the scientists are saying, but rather we say we don't understand what the Chazal actually mean. In our sugya, the Maral says the spiritual meaning, the metaphysical meaning of our sugya is as follows. The number six is Meramis, he says, on the Shlemus. That's something complete, because every physical thing has six sides to it. North, south, east, west, and top and bottom. That's the Shlemus of the Bria. And therefore, the number six is Shlemus. When Rav said that the world is 6,000 parsa, he meant that the world in and of its own right is a dover shalim, and therefore it is associated with the number 6. There are 6,000 parsa to the world. This world is a physical entity, And the shlemus of anything physical is the number six. And that's why he says the world was also created in 6 days. Because time and place, zman and makom, are comparable one to the other. And therefore, just like the world was created in 6 days, and therefore the space of the world is also 6,000 parsos. And then he continues, just like Yom HaShabbos is kadosh and is separated from the rest of the Bria of Zman, of the Sheshes Yomei HaMasa, so it's 1/6, so too the Rakia is also separated, the firmament is separated from this world, and therefore it also has to do with a ratio of 1,000 to 6,000, which is the ratio that Rav is going to work with in our sugya. And let us now continue the sugya, and we will see how the Maral explains further the words of Rava. So how did Rava figure out Misfara that the thickness of the firmament was 1,000 parsois? Savra laki hodom Rabbi Barachana om Rabbi Yochanan, like we had before in Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis, that Rabbi Barachana said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, kama mahalach adam beinini biyoim yud parsois, how much can a person walk, an average person, on a day of 12 hours of sun and 12 hours of darkness, of night? How much can he walk during the sunlight hours? He can walk 10 parsois, 40 mil, because a pars is 4 mil. He can go from dawn until the ball of the sun rises, he can go 5 milin, as we learned yesterday. He can also go from sunset, when the ball of the sun goes down, until all the stars come out, he can also go 5 milin. So it comes out that from Hanetz, from sunrise until Shkia's sunset, subtracting the 5 milin before Hanetz and subtracting the 5 milin after Shkia, we wind up with 40 minus 10 equals 30. And it comes out, Nimtza Oivya Shal Rakia Echad Mishisha Bayoim. This is the swore of Rav, that it comes out that, for example, from Alos till Nates, a person can walk 5 mil. The rest of the day from Nates till Shki, he can walk 30. So he is walking in time, he's walking 1/6 of the time. He can walk 5/30 during the day from Alos till Nates, it's 30 mil. From Nates to Shkia, it's 30 mil. From Alos till Nates, it's 5 mil. So that's a fraction of 1/6. So just like he walks 1/6 from Alos to Nates, and he walks from Nates to Shkia 30 mil, so too, if the sun goes around the world, we have a Gemara, we have a tradition that it goes over a width of 6,000 parsois, then the thickness of the firmament is also 1/6, and that comes out to 1,000 parsois. And on this, the Maral explains that the sun that is going through the rakia, through the firmament, in order to come to the world, to give the light of the sun to the world, at the beginning of the day, so that's comparable to the beginning of the earth. The beginning of the earth is the Rakia. And just like the sun, during the time from Alos till Nates, it's 1/6 of what it does during the entire day, which is 30. So too, the Rakia itself is also 1/6 of the world. And therefore, it comes out to 1,000. This is the beer of the Maral in this Gemara. Meisvei, the Gemara now is going to ask a question on this. Rabbi Yehuda says that Avyai Shal Rakia, that the thickness of the Rakia is Echad Me'asor Bayoim, is 1/10 of the day. So Rashi tells us that Rabbi Yehuda is speaking about the day in its entirety, from Alos, from dawn, until Tseis, until the stars come out. And he continues, Teda kama mahalach adam beinini b'yoyim, eser parsois. How much can a person walk during the day? from Alos Tulseis, 10 parsois, 40 mil. Umi Alois HaShachar and Neitz HaChamo are 4 milin. And from Alos until Neitz, he walks 4 milin. Mishkiyas HaChamo Vatzeis HaChavim are 4 milin. He also walks 4 milin. Nimtzavs Oyiv Shol Rekia Echad Me'asara. So it comes out that the thickness of the sky, of the firmament, is 1/10 B'yoyim. It's 1/10 of the day. In other words, since he can go from Alos till Neitz 4 mil, and during the entire day, as Rashi explained, from Alos till Tseis, he goes 10 parsois, which equals 40 mil. So 4 mil to 40 is 1/10, and that's the shear of 1/10. Tiyufta deRava tiyufta. So we have a kasha on Rava. Because if you analyze what Rabbi Yehuda said, there are many points where he disagrees with what Rava said. And the Gemara continues, De'ula tiyufta. It's also difficult on what Ula said, because Ula went with the same approach as Rava. Rava and Ula both told us that a person goes from Neitz until Shkia 30 parsois. And also they said that from Alos till Neitz, they go 5 parsois, which came out to the fraction of 1/6. But according to Rabbi Yehuda, number one, they go 32 parsois between Neitz and Shkia, as Rashi explains. And they go 4 parsois from Alos till Neitz, and 4 parsois from Shkia until Tseisek Kechavim. So all the numbers are off. Well, from Rabbi Yehuda, we see that Rav and Ula is a Tiyufta, because the ratio is not 1/6. If we take the 4 mil from Alos till Neitz versus what a person is walking during the day, it's 32 mil. It comes out the fraction, in fact, is 1/8. And according to Rav and Ula, it was 1/6. So the number of milin from Alos till Neitz is wrong, according to Rabbi Yehuda. It's not 5 milin, it's 4 milin. The number that's walked from Neitz till Shkia is wrong. It's not 30 mil, it's 32 mil. And the fraction is wrong. It's not 1/6, it's 1/8. And in fact, there will also be a difference, and this is a great difference, halacha l'maisa, in how much a mil is. According to Rava, that a person walks 30 mil in a 12-hour period. So to figure out how many minutes a mil is, we have to take 1/30th of 12, which comes out to 24 minutes. However, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we're taking 1/32nd of 12, which comes out to 22.5 minutes. And Be'emes, there's a pshat of the Rambam here in the sugya. The Rambam's pshat is that from Alos till Neitz, it's 4 mil. From Shkia till Tseis, it's 4 mil. And from Neitz till Shkia, it's 40 mil. Not like Rashi says the 40 mil, the 10 parsos, is from Alos till Tseis. But rather, the 40 mil is from Neitz till Shkia. And there's an additional 4 from Alos till Neitz, an additional 4 from Shkia till Tseis. Comes out that a person walks 48 mil during the day. And it comes out from Neitz till Shkia, he's not walking 30, he's not walking 32, he's walking 40. And if you want to figure out how many minutes it takes to walk a mil, it would be 1/40th of 12 hours, which would come out to 18 minutes. So it comes out the way we learn pshat here in the Gemara, it'll make a big nafkamina how much a mil is. There's a famous Tosfos over here, the second Tosfos, Rabbi Yehuda Omer. Rabbi Yehuda told us that from Shkia Sachama until Tseisik Chavim, it's Arba Milin. So Rabbeinu Tam asked a famous question, and that is that in Masechet Shabbos, which we learned earlier in the Daf Yomi cycle on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis, it says Ezu Ben Hashmashes Mishatishka Chama calls Man Pnei Mizrech Madimin Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, and the Gemara tells us that how long is the eastern part of the sky red? That is 3/4 of a mil. So Rabbi Yehuda himself said over there that Beina Shmashis is 3/4 mil, and here he tells us that from Shkia till Tseis, which the Chora is the Beina Shmashis, it's in fact 4 mil. So Tosfos answers that the Rabbeinu Tam says there are two Shkias. There is a Shkia, Tchilas HaShkia, which is when the ball of the sun goes down, and until the stars come out, it's, if we say a mil is 18 minutes, it would be 4 mil, it would be 72 minutes. This is the 72 minutes of Rabbeinu Tam. It would take a person to walk 4 mil, which would be 72 minutes. So from the beginning of Shkia until the final end, when the stars come out, it would be 4 mil. However, when does Beina Shmashis start? That's Soif Shkia. And the Gemara in Masechet Shabbos is not speaking about like our Gemara Tchila Shkia, which lasts for 4 mil, 72 minutes, but rather it is speaking about the end of Shkia. And the Beina Shmashis is from that end, the last part of the Shkia, which goes 13.5 minutes, 3/4 mil. If 18 is 1 mil, then 3/4 mil is 13.5. The last 13.5 minutes of that 4 mil, 72 minute cycle. This is the answer of Rabbeinu Tam. The Ge'onim give a different teretz, and that is that not that there's two Shkias, but rather there are two Zmanim of Tseis HaKechavim. The Gemara in Masechet Shabbos was speaking about the Tseis HaKechavim, which is when night starts according to the Ge'onim, which is 13.5 minutes after when the ball of the sun sets. That's when the Kechavim Beinonim come out. So in other words, according to the Gonim, there's the Shkia, then there is the Kechavim Beinonim coming out, which is 3/4 mil from the beginning of the Shkia. And then when do all of the stars come out, which is what our Gemara is discussing, how much a person will walk, he'll walk until all the stars come out, that in fact takes 4 mil, that takes 72 minutes, but Beina Shmashis is the first 13.5 minutes, not the last 13.5 minutes, like the Rabbeinu Tam says, but the first 13.5 minutes, and then Tseis HaKechavim of the Kechavim Beinonim would mark the beginning of Vaday Laila, whereas according to Rabbeinu Tam, Vaday Laila would be at the end of the 72 minutes. Let us continue the Gemara. We have a Tiyufta from Rabbi Yehuda on Rava and Ula, Lematevi Tiyufta to Rabbi Yochanan, should we say also, as Rashi explains, that which Rabbi Barchana told us before, that a person goes from Alos till Tseis, he's going to walk 10 parsois, and also that a person goes 5 parsois from Alos till Nates, and 5 from Shkia till Tseis, should we say that Rav Yehuda, as we mentioned before concerning the sheet of Rav and Ula, Rav Yehuda goes against that. Tiyufta, maybe there's a Tiyufta in Rav Yochanan also. Omar lo, so Rav Yochanan will respond, Ano, I, be Yamamahu da Amri. I said a shear of 10 parsos, I was speaking about the entire day. I was going from Alos till Tseis. V'rabbonin who dekatol, the Rabbonin made a mistake in my words. Dikha chashvan, they were thinking the kadma v'chashaycha. They were thinking, as Rashi explains, that there are people who they saw that people by Nates had walked 5 milen. So they assumed that they walked 5 milen. From Alos till Nates. They also saw that from Shkia till Tseis they walked 5 milen. So they assumed that Rabbi Yochanan was saying that there are 30 milen in the middle. In fact, Rabbi Yochanan was saying there are 32 milen in the middle, just like Rabbi Yehuda. And really, there's only 4 mil that a person walks before Hanates, and only 4 that he walks after Shkia until Tseis. As Rashi explains, what they made a mistake in the Chacham is when they saw by Nates it was 5, they didn't realize that some people start out even before Alos. They started out right at the end of the night when it's still dark outside, they're going to start, and by the time Nates comes, they've already done 5 mil. A normal person would do only 4 mil if he would start at Alos when the dawn begins, then he would only do four. The reason they did five is because they started an hour before. And the reason they did five by Tzeisik HaChavim is because, in fact, they went an hour later than Tzeisik HaChavim. So really, Rabbi Yochanan is saying a person walks 40 and the division is 32 from Neitz until Shkia, and four from Alos till Neitz, and four from Shkia to Tzeis. Let me repeat that again. From Neitz till Shkia is 32. And there's four from Alos till Neitz and four from Shkia till Tzeis. So that gives you a total of 40. The reason the Chachamim made a mistake in his words is because they were counting the people who were actually walking 42 parsos, 42 milin in a day. How did it come to 42? Because they were gaining an extra mil in the morning from an hour before. They were setting out early, and they were ending the day later, and that's why they were able to walk 5 mil before Neitz, and were able to walk 5 mil after Shkia, because they were actually walking 42 mil in the day. But the person who would walk 40, he would do 32 from Neitz till Shkia, and 4 before Neitz, and 4 after Shkia. So Rabbi Yochanan saying, I can work out just like Rav Yehuda. The Chedushi Rav Moshe Mamiron asked a question that we had before Masecht Pesachim and Daf Beis Amud Aleph, that Yekanes Adam B'chitoiv V'yetz B'chitoiv. A person should only go out in the morning when there's sun, and not travel at night, and he should rest when darkness comes. So how can you say that people actually were going before Alos, they were traveling after Tzeisik HaChavim? This would seem difficult when they would be going against what Chazal are telling them. So therefore, the Chedush Rav Moshe Mamiron learns a different pshat. And his pshat is that people, in fact, were going only 40, not 42. They were going 4 before and 32 from Neitz to Shkia and 4 after Shkia. However, the onlookers thought that they were going 5 before Neitz and 5 after Shkia, and therefore there was only 30 in the middle instead of 32. Why did they think that? Because right in the beginning of the morning, they made a mistake and they thought it's still night. And therefore, right by Hanetzachama, they thought that they didn't realize that it was after Nates, because the light wasn't so bright yet. When a person is in a house or that, he can't tell as well as he is in an open area that it's already Hanetz, and therefore they thought that this was pre-Nates. So when the person traveled 5 mil, they were actually traveling one of those mils after Nates. But the people made a mistake and they thought it's before Nates. And therefore they thought there's only 30 in the middle between Nates and Shki. And the same thing when it came at night. At night, they thought that the darkness had started earlier and the people were doing 5 mil from Shkia till Tzeis, when actually they were only doing 4. But they were counting the hour before Shkia as if the person that had that mill before Shkia, they thought it was after Shkia when it was really before. That was their mistake. So according to this, they were traveling correctly, not earlier than the sun rises, and not later than darkness. And their mistake was about that mill, that the onlookers thought that it started after the Nates, and they thought that was still from before the Nates. It was still dark, and by Shkia, they thought it was already dark, and that belonged to the period after Shkia. That was their mistake, according to Rav Moshe Mamiron. Continues the Gemara. Maybe that Rav Yehuda is a kasha on Rav Chanina, because Rav Chanina said that Loit, as we had yesterday in the sugya, traveled from Stone to the city of Tzayara, and he traveled from Alos HaShachar until Hanetz, and Reb Chanina said, I measured the area that he traveled, and it was 5 mil. So L'chayra, that is difficult from Reb Yehuda, who said it was only 4 mil from Alos till Hanetz. The Gemara answers, low, it's not a stira on Reb Chanina, because by each a shiny, it could be he's right. It takes 5 mil, but he did the 5 mil from, normally a person would only do 4 mil from Alos till Nates. The reason Lot did 5 mil in that time, because the Malachim pushed Lot to do it, and when a person hurries, he could travel quicker and do more, he can cover more ground, and therefore Lot, in fact, covered 5 mil. Tashima, continues the Gemara, we're going to ask Akasha on Rava, who said that the area that the sun travels around the earth is 6,000 parsois. Tashima, Mitzrayim, Hoyarba Meis Parsa. Mitzrayim was 400 parsa, Al Arba Meis Parsa. It was 400 wide by 400 long. Umitzrayim Echel Mishishim Bekush. Mitzrayim is 1/60th of Kush. And let us learn, there's different pshatim here, but let us learn the width of Mitzrayim is 1/60th of the width of Kush. The Kush, Echad B'Shishim Ba'olam, Kush is 1/60th of the width of the world. Ba'olam, and the whole world, Echad B'Shishim Began, is 1/60th of the Garden of Eden. The gun, and the Gemara separating the gun from the place Eden. The gun, Echad Mishishim Be'Eden, is 1/60th of Eden. The Eden, and Eden, Echad Mishishim Be'Gehenim, is 1/60th of Gehenim. Nimtza, Kol Olam Kuloi, the whole world, Kikisui Keder LeGehinam, is like a covering of a pot to Gehinim. As Rashi says, it's negligible. It's like Dover Mu'ud. It's like nothing. If this is how big Gehenim is 60 times, Eden, which is 60 times Gan, which is 60 times the world, so the entire world is merely a small covering of Gehinnom. That's how vast Gehinnom is. So to Yufta, we have a kasha on Rava and on Ula from this Gemara, because they said that the width of the world that the sun travels over is 6,000 parsois. And here we see that the world, Mitzrayim, is 1/60th of Kush. Kush is 1/60th of the world. So the world is 60 times 60 times the width of Mitzrayim, which was 400 parsois. So it's 3,600 times 400, which should come out to 1,440,000 parsois. So you're saying it's 6,000 parsois, according to this Chesedron, it's much more. Tiyufta, it's Akasha, Einichanami. We have a question on Rav and Ula that Tiyufta means there's no answer to this question. Toshima, come in here. The Tanit Be'Elio, Rav Nasan Oimer, Koli, Yishuv Kuli, Tachas Koichav Echad. The all of civilization where man lives can fit under one star in the heaven. Kol ha'yishuv kulei tachas koichav echad yishuv. Tate, I'll bring you a proof. Sharei adam nice nei nobe koichav echad. A person sets his eye on one star. Hoylich lamizrach. He goes to the east. Oymed kenegdai. That star is in the exact same spot as it was before. Larbor ruchas oylem. He travels to the four corners of the world. Oymed kenegdai. It's following him exactly where he is. And it says, even if he travels for many years, and he travels all over the world, that if he picks out that one star and travels always looking at that star, he'll see it's in the exact same place. As Rashi says, that it does not change its spot in the Shemayim. It doesn't appear more to the right or more to the left. It appears the exact place where he was. Michlal, the Chol Yishuv Kulei, which Rashi says, the all of civilization is 1,000 parsois. Those 1,000 parsois are tachas koichav echad yashiv, are under one star. And if there would be 6 stars in heaven, then we could say that the rest of the world, which Rashi and Tosa say, are filled up with yamim, nahoris, midboris, with seas and rivers and deserts which are inhabitable, which there's no civilization there. The Rishash points out that Bismanaza, based on science, that the world is revolving around in space. The thousands of stars could be in space and not covering the rest of the world, the uninhabited part of the world. But the point of the Gemara is that we don't just see six stars in heaven. That would then Rava and Ulla would make sense that the width of the world is 6,000 because the Yishuv is covered by one star. Wherever a person goes, he sees that one star in the same location. So if there would be six stars, that would cover the rest of the world, the uninhabited part of the world. But we see thousands of stars, so it must be that the width of the world is much greater. To Yufta, this again is a question that Rav and Ulla cannot answer. Toshma, coming here. Now we go into the constellations of the zodiac. Eglo B'Tzof, and there are 12 constellations. And the constellation of Taurus, which is the Eglo, the calf, is always in the north, the Akrav, and the one of Akrav, which is the scorpion, is always Bedorim in the south. The Chola Yishuv Kulay, and our entire civilized world, Eina Yishuv El Bein Eglo Akrav. It's between the Eglo and between Akrav. Rashi says this does not mean that the world fits in exactly and it covers the entire space between Eglo and Akrav, but rather in between these two points in the heaven, we have our tiny, small earth. The Chola Yishuv Kulay, Einai Have, Elisho Achas B'Yoim. Our entire Yishuv is 1 hour of the day. There's 12 hours of the day covered by the 12 constellations, which the sun has to revolve around. And our world only takes up 1 hour. She'ein chamen nechnes liyishuv el shrachas b'yom. The sun only comes over the civilized world 1 hour of the day. Tate, I'll bring you a proof. Shebechamesh, at the fifth hour of the day, chamo b'mizrach. The chamo is in the eastern part of the horizon. U'bishev, on the seventh hour of the day, chamo b'marv. The chamo is the sun is in the westerly part of the horizon. Chatzi Shesh v'chatzi Sheva, at the half of the seventh hour, 6.5 hours. The Chatzi, excuse me, 5.5 hours. And now there's a half hour before Chatzos. V'chatzi Sheva, and 6.5 hours means a half of 7 means a half hour after Chatzos. Chamo, I met this Barash Kolodim. The sun is above the heads of everyone, which is a difficulty which the Meforshim grapple with. This would assume that everyone in the world is covered by the sun at the same time, which seems to be a difficulty. But what does our Gemara say? That takes 1 hour. So, and there are 12 other constellations. So if the 1 hour covers our world, even the civilized world, which Rashi says is 1,000 parsois. So if there's 12 constellations which the sun has to go through, it would be 12 times that. So it would be much more than the 6,000 parsois of Rava. To Yufta, the Gemara again says that this is a question on Rava and on Ulla. Toshma, another question. D'amar Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, ma tshuva shivas bas kol oitzer Rasha? What tshuva did the bas kol answer to that Rasha? A bas kol is after Nevuah stopped in the days of Chagai Zechariah Malachi, then there was still the remnants, a daughter. It was a weaker, as the Meforshim explained, it was a bas kol, like a feminine, a woman who's weaker than a male. So the Nevuah was bas kol. It was a diminished Nevuah, but there was a sound. And the Nevuah came from that bas kol. What did it answer? Leiser Rasha, that Rasha, Nevuchadnetzer. B'shoah Shomer, when Nevuchadnetzer said, Ela al bom se'av. Let me go up to the bomos, which are thick. He's referring to the exalted places, namely the firmament. And Adam, I will compare myself elegant to Hashem. He's going to challenge Hashem and go up into the firmament. Yatzav Baskol v'Amra. Baskol came out and said, V'Amra loin said to him, Russia ben Russia, you evil one, the son of an evil one, and now we turn to Daf Tzadik Dalam and Beis. Ben Benoit Shal Nimrod, you are not, as Rashi says, not the actual grandson of Nimrod, but you're from Izera, you're a descendant of Nimrod HaRusha. Shehimrod is called Adam Kuli Olai B'Malchusai. He was a king in Bavel, and he was at the time of the Dora Floga, and he brought the whole world to challenge HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to fight, to build a tower, to fight Hashem. Kama Shnaisav Shal Adam, you're doing the same thing, Nevuchadnetzer, who comes from Nimrod. How many years can a person live? Shivim shana, 70 years. Vimbigvura shemayim shana, and even with strength, we can live to 80 years. Shenamar yumeishin asenavem shivim shana vimbigvura shemayim shana. As the pasuk says in Tilim, which we say in davening on Shabbos, we say our years of our lives are 70, and with gvura we can reach 80. So you in 70, 80 years, you expect to fight HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and you expect to come up to the firmament, min ha'aretz ad l'rikiyah. You know how long it takes from the heaven, from the earth until the firmament. Mahal chamesh me'oy shana. It's a travel, a distance of 500 years. Va'oiv yeshal rikiyah, and the thickness of the rikiyah itself is mahal chamesh shana, is again 500 amas. Ubein rikiyah l'rikiyah, between one firmament and the other, there's seven of them. Mahalachei Me'eshan is another 500 years. Ubein kol Rikiyah, this is not just between Rikiyah 1 and Rikiyah 2, but between all seven Rikiyahs. V'chein bein kol Rikiyah Rikiyah. So you want to come to fight me, Hashem, which I am above all the Rikiyahs, when you only can live 70, 80 years. Ach, El Sha'ol Tarid, you're going to go down to the grave. El Yarkis Ebor, to the depths of the pits, you are going to be destined to go. To Yufta, so this is a question on Rav and Ula again. Why is it a question? Rashi explains, because the Gemara in Chagiga tells us that the distance from the earth until the first Rakia is the same distance as the width of the earth, which would mean it would take 500 years to travel from one end to the other. And if we multiply 500 years by 365 days in a year, we come out to 182,500 days. And if we multiply that by 10, which is the amount of parsois that an average person walks in an average day of 12-hour sunlight, it would come out that he can walk, it would take 500 years times 365 days times 10 parsois, 1,825,000 parsois from the earth to the Rakia, and the width of the earth. You said it's 6,000 parsois, when actually it's much, much more than that. The Meforshim explain what Chazal meant with these great amounts of distance, which seems to be larger than our earth actually is, as such as the one quoted here, 1,825,000, or the one that we had earlier, of 1,440,000 parsois. The Gemara ends with the same conclusion. To Yufta, this shows undoubtedly that there is a refutation of Rava and Ulla. Tana Rabbanan. Now the Gemara quotes two disagreements between the Chachmei Yisrael and the Chachmei Umois HaOlam. Tana Rabbanan, Chachmei Yisrael, Oimrim Galgal Kavua Umazolois Chayzrin. The Chazal said that the wheel of the zodiac is fixed in the sphere, and the constellations revolve slightly and then return to their place, which means that the stars are not fixed in a sphere of their own, but rather are fixed to a certain part of space, at the same one as the sun is. However, over the course of a year, the sun is displaced along, and it's passed from one constellation of the zodiac to the other. This is the Shita of Chazal, the Chachmei Umisoilam Oimrim, but the Gentile sages said, no, Gal Gal Choyzer Mazol is Kavun, just the opposite. The wheel of the zodiac, it revolves, and the constellations, they are fixed in it. Their opinion was that the sun and the stars are fixed in different spheres, not like the Jewish sages said that they are fixed in the same sphere, but actually they're in different spheres. And the sphere containing the stars rotates slowly westward, causing the position of the sun relative to the stars to shift. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rebbe, Tshuva L'Devrayim. We have an answer to what the Chachmei Umisoilam said. Why? Because Me'oilam Loi Matsinu Egla B'Dorim V'Akrav B'Tzofen. As we learned in the Gemara before, the Akra of Scorpion is always in the south, and the Egla is always in the north. We never found that Egla should be in the south and Akrav should be in Tzofen. But according to the Chachmei Umisoilam, who explain how the sun's movement is because the stars rotate, the result should be that the constellations of the zodiac, those that are south, should slowly go towards the north. And the ones, the constellations that are in the north, should go towards the south. And we never find this. Since we never find this, it must be that they are wrong. However, Maskel or Rabbi Yaakov asked, V'dilma kibbutzina derechaya. Maybe we can answer the shita of the Chachamim Mesoilim. Maybe it's like two spheres that are rotating like the blade of a mill. Inami kitzinoira didasha, or they are rotating like the pivot of a door. And what he means to say is that maybe the Gentile sages are correct that the sun and the stars are actually connected to separate spheres, not to the same sphere. However, the reason the sun moves through the constellations is because the sphere of the sun is revolving eastward, just like the blade of a millstone. When you fix it to the axis of the millstone, it can rotate independently of the axis of the millstone, and the millstone can rotate independently of the blade. And just like a door can swing free of the lintel, and the lintel can swing free of the door, so too the motion of the sun relative to the stars, we can explain it with the rotation of the sun as to the rotation of the stars. In other words, so it's no proof, and Mimela, we have an answer to what the Chachmei Umas Olam say, that in fact, the sun and the stars are actually connected to two different spheres. The Gemara continues with another machlokas between Chachmei Yisrael and Chachmei Yomisrael, which we mentioned before. Chachmei Yisrael, I remember, Yom Chamam Alechis Lamatim and Rekia. The Chachmei Yisrael to say that in the day the sun travels under the firmament and goes from east to west. Ubalaila, and at night, Lamalim and Rekia. It goes above the Rekia. It goes, as we said, through the windows in the firmament, and it travels, it sets in the west, but then it goes through the windows above the firmament, and we don't see it anymore, and it travels back from west to east, then in the morning it comes through another window, and then it rises in the east and goes back to the west. V'chayzer chalila, it keeps on going in this direction. So it comes out that the Chazal, and we're going to see the Umas Olam also, no one agreed to what science today says is the facts, namely that the earth revolves around the sun. According to Chazal, the sun did not revolve around the earth. The earth didn't revolve around the sun, but rather the sun revolved around the firmament above the earth and went through the windows, as we explained. That was what the Chachmei Yisrael held. However, they say, in the daytime, the sun goes under the firmament. Ubalaila lamatam and karka goes under the karka. In other words, it revolves around the earth. Amar Rebbe. Rebbe said, v'nirin divreim and divreinu. I believe that their words are more emes than our words. And what's the proof? Shebiyoyim mayonisoyin. And in the daytime, the brooks, springs are cold. Ubalaila roishchen. But at night they're warm, as Rashi says, the proof is, because by Aloysa Shachar you see the mist, the hot mist that is above the rivers. So we see that they were warmed up at night by the sun that's going below the earth and warming up these springs. Now, according to Rav Haigoin, Rav Shririgoin, the Rambam and Mar Nevuchim, and also Rabbeinu Avram and Rambam in his drasha, on his mimer on Drushas Chazal, which is brought down in the Hagdama of the Ayin Yaakov, and we'll soon see the Reb Samsrol Hirsch goes with this opinion as well, that when Rebbe said Nir and Devrain, he meant to say that they are right and we Chazal are wrong. However, the Rebbe Kiva Eger, the Gilyon HaShasir, brings a Rabbeinu Tam quoted in the Shita Mekabetzis Tiksubis Daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis, the Af Al Gav, the Nitzchu Chachmei Umasolam L'Chachmei Yisrael, even though there's a proof that the Chachmei Umasolam were correct over what the Chachmei Yisrael said, Hainu Nitzochen Betainis, they had a better argument. Avol Ha'emes Hi K'Chachmei Yisrael, the truth is like the Chachmei Yisrael, even though they won us in arguments. V'hainu Damrinin B'Tfilah, and that's what we say in our davening every day. U'Baikeach Haloine Rekia, the sun breaks through the windows of the sky in order to bring light to the world. In other words, the sun revolves around the firmament and goes through those windows. The Rabbeinu Avraham min Rambam tells us that from this Gemara we see he goes with the opinion of the Rambam and Mor Nevuchim of his father and Rav Haiger and Rav Shrirgoin. He says, you see the intellectual honesty of Rabbeinu HaKadosh. Ki Rebbe loy pasuk kedas chachmei Yom Yisrael. He didn't pasuk like them. Ala shechriya datum idash shikul adas barayish shekharna. He brought a proof, and he said, it makes more sense what they're saying. And that's why he said, nirin divrayim. He didn't say that they are 100% right. This is the way the son of the Rambam understands it. The ilun is barloy bevadir baraya. If he would have proven it 100%, he would have said the psak halach is like them. As we find elsewhere, where Chazal said, Nitzchu chachmei umas ha'olam l'chachmei Yisrael. Where Chazal said that the chachmei umas ha'olam defeated the chachmei Yisrael. And that, he says, that's why Rabbeinu HaKadosh is called HaKadosh, ki ha'odam kishe yishlach me'alpon of ha'sheker, when he will throw away from in front of him falsehood, v'yikayim ha'emes, and he will keep the truth, v'yachrienu la'mitoi, v'yachsir bo'y midatoi, ki she'is bar lo yafocha, when he sees the truth, he will go away from his false opinion, ain't suffik ki kadoshu, he is definitely a kadosh. So he says that we see that Chazal did not care who said who it was coming from. They were looking at what is the truth. Al mitzad mitosum umitzad rayseim loy mipnei ha'omrei sayia mishia. They didn't care who was saying it, even if the chachmei umas ha'olam were saying it. If that was the emes, then they would paskin like it. So this is the shita of Rabbeinu Avram Ben HaRambam, and similarly we find Rab Samson Rafal Hirsch tells us on page 26 of the pamphlet I mentioned before, we quote, we find that Chazal themselves considered the wisdom of the non-Jewish scholars equal to their own in the natural sciences. To determine who was right in areas where the non-Jewish sages disagreed with their own knowledge, they did not rely on their tradition, but on reason. Moreover, they even respected the opinion of the non-Jewish scholars, admitting when the opinion of the latter seemed more correct than their own. In the Talmud, we learn the Jewish sages said, by day the sun passes beneath the firmament and at night above it. The sages of the nation maintained, by day beneath the firmament and at night beneath the ground. And Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi said, their opinion seems more correct than ours. So according to Rabbi Samsfal Hirsch, Chazal would listen to science, even though it was against what they held. This goes with the shita of all those meforshim that we said. However, again, the Reb Kiva Eiger quotes the Rabbeinu Tam that even though they won us in the arguments here, but in fact we maintain ubay keach aloinei rakia, and this would seem to go with the Shita of Rabbeinu Chananel and the Rush, that we do not reckon with science. We have to reckon with what Chazal said, and perhaps we don't understand what Chazal said, but the MS is like the Chazal, and as we said before from Rabbi Yashiv, this is the approach when science conflicts Torah, or at least like the Tosas Yontiv, that it remains with a Tzorach Ian. Continues the Gemara. Tanya Rab Nosson Oimer, B'yimoy sachama chama malachs b'goy v'shol rakia. In the summertime, the sun goes in the heights of the sky, not on the fringes. Lefikach kol olam kula reseach, the whole world is hot. Umayon is saying about the springs, the brooks which come, their source is at the ends of the world. They have not been warmed up, and that's why they're cold. B'maisik sham in the wintertime, chamuk mahalechas b'shipula rikia, the sun goes towards the fringes of the earth, of the firmament. Lefikach kol olam kula tzayin, therefore the whole world is cold in the winter. Umayon nais roiskan, however, the springs which the source are at the fringes of the earth, they are warmed up by the sun. Tana rabbanan barbo shvilan chama malachs, the chama goes in four different routes. Nisan ir v'sivan, during Nisan ir and sivan malachs b'horam, it goes over the mountains, kedei lefashra shlagan, in order to melt the snows. during Tammuz of Eyal, the second period of the year, it Mahalachas B'Yishuv, it goes over the civilization, Kedei Lavash L'Saperes, in order to ripen the fruit. Tishrei Mecheshvan V'Kislev, the third period of the year, Mahalachas B'Yam, it goes over the oceans and the seas, Kedei L'Yavesh Esanaris, in order to dry up the rivers that are swollen from the melted snow. Tevis Shvat V'Adar, and during the fourth period of the year, Mahalachas B'Midbar goes in the Midbar, Shaloi L'Yavesh Esanaris, in order not to dry up the seeds. This brings us to a conclusion of this Gemara, which discussed in great detail science and Torah. Continues the Gemara, going back to our Mishnah. V'Rabbi Eliezer Oimer Maskupas, the Tanakhama held, the Rebbe Kiva held, that what's considered Derech Uchoike concerning the Korban Pesach, it was 15 mil, which is the distance from Modiim. However, the Rebbe Lezer held, no, anything that's outside of the Askupa of the Azara is already considered Derech Uchoike. The Gemara asks the question, are you saying, Rebbe Lezer, this halacha, and you're saying it afagav the Motzi aisle, even though he could come in, we could just tell him walk in. V'loy amrinu le'kumayil, and we don't tell him come in, in fact. He's not mechuyev, that's already called derech rechayka. How could it be? V'hatanya, you yourself said differently. V'hatanya, Yehudi oral shleimol, a Jewish oral did not have a bris mila. And in the Duke Seifrim tells us that this word Yehudi is not found in earlier editions. It was put in by the censors. So the correct text here should be Oral Shalai Mol, a uncircumcised Jew. It's understood that it's a Jew. Shalai Mol, who didn't have a Bris Mila, and he could have a Bris Mila, and he doesn't have a Bris Mila in time to bring the Korban Pesach. On this course, he gets course for not bringing the Korban Pesach. Divrei Rabbi Elazar. In other words, if you are uncircumcised, you're an Oral, we tell you, have a Bris Mila and bring the Korban Pesach. So why is Derech Uchoike different than concerning having a Bris Mila? By Derech Uchoike also, if you're outside the door, the skupa, the threshold of the Azor, we should just tell you, walk in, just like we tell you by a bris, have a bris. Amar Abayas, Abayas said, there is a difference between the p'tur by Korban Pesach of Derech Uchoike and that of an oral. Amar Abayas, Derech Uchoike l'tor, vein Derech Uchoike l'tomik. The p'tur of Derech Uchoike is only for one who is tor. It is not for one who is tummy. Explains Rashi that we learn out Derech Uchoike by Korban Pesach from Derech Uchoike by Maaser Sheni. And just like by Maaser Sheni, if someone is out 1 foot outside of Yerushalayim, he's already considered on a Derech Uchoike and he's able to exchange his fruit for money and then spend the money in Yerushalayim and eat the Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim. So too, in Korban Pesach, if he's 1 step outside of the place where the Korban Pesach is shechted, which is in the Azara, so he is already considered in a Derech Rechaika. So in other words, the place which is machshir, Rashi puts it, makam hechsheri, the place which is fit to eat the Maaser Sheni is Yerushalayim. And if you're a step outside of that, you're allowed to exchange your fruit that you're bringing, the Maaser Sheni fruit, for money and spend that money. So too by the Tomei. However, by Derech Rechaika concerning the Korban Pesach. But by Tomei, where Richuk is not a factor, as we learned yesterday in Daf Tzadik Gimel Amid Beis, the Ptur is because a person is Tomei, but if by nighttime he'll be able to make himself Tohar, then he's obligated to make himself Tohar. By Richuk Makam, the Torah didn't differentiate whether he is a step close to Yerushalayim or he's far away. As long as he's on the way, it's considered, like we learned from Maaser Sheni, it's considered that he's Berichuk Makim. However, by Tomei, it's Tali, is he Tomei or not? And if at night he'll be able to, let's say in the case of Tumas Sheretz, he'll be able to toivel himself and have hair of Shemesh and be ready to, if it was shechted for him during Erev Pesach, he'll be ready to eat it at night, so he has no ptur. The same thing by someone who is a Orel, if at night, by nighttime, he'll be able to take away that problem of being an Orel, so he's mechuyev to take away. In other words, the Rav Elazar is distinguishing that the only time we don't say kum ayil is only by derech rechayka, because we learned that from Ma'aser Sheni, and just like over there, it doesn't matter how much you're outside of Yerushalayim, so too here, it doesn't matter how much you're outside of the Beis Hamikdash, of the Azara. And it would come out, l'char, from the pashas of the words of Rav Elazar, that the whole tour of Derech Rechayka is only by a tor. But let's say, l'mashal, somebody was Tomei, and he was an Oral. Taisa says Ktsas Tema would come out that we would tell him, make yourself tor if you're a Tommy Sheretz, and make a bris milah, and if not, there's an Einish chorus. Whereas if I don't have those impediments, then I would have a ptur. If I'm one step out, we don't tell you to come aisle. And here, where you could be one step out, ain't there chachayk l'tami? There you have no ptur. There we tell you, make yourself tor. If you're an oral, we tell you, make a bris milah. You don't have a ptur of derech rechayka. How could that be? You have more issues, and we tell you, you have no ptur. The person who has less issues, we tell him, you do have a ptur. Taisa says that we find precedent in other halachas like this, and the Gemara is falling precedent in other makomas. Ayin betosus divrei maskil ve'ein derech rechayk l'tami. Rav Amar Rava gives a different teretz, tanoihi, that actually we find a machlokes tanoim exactly what Rav Elazar said. There's two tanoim, and as Rashi explained, since there's two tanoim, maybe we could say that an oral shaloi mol onish karis divrei Rav Elazar, that is a third opinion. What are the two tanoim aliba de Rav Elazar de Sanya? We learned in a brayser Rav Elazar Omer nemar richuk makom bepesach. V'nemar richuk makom b'meiser malahal chutzlachilasi afkan chutzlachilasi. This is the first opinion, that it's totally in the Makam Achila, just like Ma'aser Sheni, Makam Richuk is outside of Yerushalayim, which is the place where you eat it. So too, over here, it's outside of the Makam Achila of the Korban Pesach, which is Yerushalayim. So according to the Shita, it's Rav Elazar's Shita is not outside of the Beis HaMikdash, but rather it's outside of Yerushalayim, not like our Mishnah. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rishon, Rabbi Elazar, Chutz Lasi Asai. We learned from Ma'aser Sheni, as we mentioned before, in Makom Hechsheri. What's the proper place for Ma'aser Sheni? In Yerushalayim. The proper place to make the Korban Pesach, not to eat the Korban Pesach, the Asiya facet of Korban Pesach is inside the Azara. So if he's outside the Azara, he is already a potter from Korban Pesach. So it comes out that we have a machlokas, what Rav Elazar said. Both of these opinions were in Rav Elazar. Is it totally in Yerushalayim where you eat the Korban Pesach, or is it totally where you, the Hechsher, the place you make the Asiya of the Korban Pesach, which is like our Mishnah, one step outside of the Askupa of the Azara. So says Rashi, since you have a machlokas, exactly what Rav Elazar said, we'll say that there's a third shita. Maybe Rav Elazar had a third shita, which was like Rav Akiva in our Mishnah, that it's really totally a maidiyim. And it's totally that you actually, derech rechayka means you actually can't make it. It's not one step out of the place where you eat at Yerushalayim, or the place where you make the Korban Pesach, the Beis HaMikdash. But it's actually, derech rechayka means exactly what it says, rechayka. It's far away, you're 15 mil, you're not going to make it, as we learned in yesterday's daf, from the Shah Shechita, which is at Chatzos, till Shkiyas Achama, you're not going to make it, because that's in that time you travel normally 15 mil, and you're 15 mil away, you're not going to make it. So, and therefore, Rabbi Elazar's Shechita is that where you can't make it, then you're potter. But when you could make it, even by derech rechayka, if you're one step out, of course we tell you kamayil. And in mele it's no stira, according to this third opinion of Yehudi or Al Shloimol, Anish Karas, yes, we tell you, don't use our reilus as an excuse, have mila, and you're chayv and korban pesach. I, makom rechayk, derech rechayka is only a ptur when you actually can't make it. But even derech rechayka, if you can make it according to this third sheet in Rav Elazar, you would be mechuyev. So this is the way Rava answers the stira in Rav Elazar.
continues the Gemara. Come on, Azla. According to who does it go? Hadam Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef. That which Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Yosef said. Bitmeim halach acharoy va'imdim bazara. That by the halacha that you can bring carbon pesach betuma. If most of Klal Yisrael is Tamei, what does most of Klal Yisrael mean? In the Azara, where the Korban Pesach is being made, or including those Jews who are outside the Azara? The halacha is in the Azara, because those who are outside the Azara, they're not part of the constituency of Korban Pesach, because they are parted from Korban Pesach, because they're one step out of the Azara. Who's that going that we don't count those Jews who are outside of the Azara? Keman Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda Shom Rishon Rabbi Lazar. That's going according to Rabbi Yitzchak Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Rabbi Lazar. That's his opinion in Rabbi Lazar, as we have in our Mishnah, that one step out of the Azara already potters you from Korban Pesach, and therefore you're not included to determine if you are Roiv of Klal Yisrael Betuma. Even if those who were outside of the Askupa were Tahar, they would not be included in a determination that Roiv Klal Yisrael, who's in the Azara, is Tamei. Amar Lo Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi was the third member in our Mishnah. That's why there's a lafika, there's a dot on top of the hay of rechayka, that we diminish, as we learned yesterday, either the hay, or we diminish the whole word, and therefore it's derech. You're on the way, even if you're one step out, it doesn't have to really be a derech rechayka. Tanya, Rabbi Yosef Gliliomer, derech rechayka, as the Bach puts in the word rechayka, the Pasuk says, derech rechayka, shemei ani, mahal shnayim or shlosh shemei, I would think from the word rechayka, far, that you're in a distance of 2 or 3 days away from the Beis HaMikdash, kishayimer, but derech loy hoya, when the Pasuk says he was not on a way, magid is teach yashim, askupa zazar v'lechutz, kari derech, that from the askupa and more, it is already called a derech. It's not necessary to have a derech rechayka, even a derech alone, one step out of the skupa zazora, already potters him from a korban pesach.